These are the stories that you're going to need to know about today.
We hit them hard yesterday, and we're going to hit them again hard today.
What do you wish yourself for your birthday?
Peace for the world, okay? Peace for the world.
You think the rest of the world
is... is with Iran.
You think the rest of the world
China is with Iran.
Yeah.
Russia is with Iran.
Russia, China.
All the Arabs are with Iran.
Russia, China.
Take
any
your
other...
nose out of the ass.
The Iranian response to the United States weakens the United States people across the world. Every time there's a clash between the United States and Iran, they recognize once again that the United States simply does not have the sort of power that many people assumed it has.
That man that you saw right there, we're going to be joined by him. He's considered one of the most respected men in the world when it comes to the issue of Iran and other things. He's a professor. And of course, Westerners like Piers Morgan that you saw there just a little while ago, he doesn't like him and doesn't respect him. Why? Well, because he isn't one of them, right? He isn't one of them. And by them, I mean what Piers Morgan considers the superior people. It's really that simple. This is the Sanchez effect. I'm going to break this down for you. Let's do it. Hello again, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. And I want to start today with the biggest problem in the world today. It's so easy to figure out that sometimes, you know, in life, sometimes we look for explanations when the answer is right in front of our nose. You know, the majority of the people who live in Western countries, this is all it is. Through ignorance, indoctrination, or just plain evil, think that they're better than and look down at the rest of us in the world. That's just the way it is. I mean, study the words of this British commentator, right? Study the words of this British commentator, and you'll hear in his words exactly what I'm talking about. Listen.
You want to put up as a defense for Iran that they're supported by China, Russia. Did you mention North Korea?
That's a lot of people, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But are they the kind of people, in terms of their own regimes, that we should be taking as good supporters?
Are they the kind of people? Do you hear that? Are they the kind of people? Listen to those words. Do you know what he's saying? I know you know exactly what he's saying. You just heard him say it. He just said those kinds of people. We don't need to listen to those people. Russians, Chinese, Iranians. Hell, he's obviously probably referring to, you know guys like him. He thinks that way of Africans and Latin Americans. And I could go on and on. He thinks those people are inferior. But here's the deal. There's 8 billion people in the world. 7 billion of those people are, in fact, the inferior crowd, as he thinks. There's less than 1 billion of Piers Morgans, right? Of course, I'm not saying everybody in the West is like Piers Morgan, but that's what he thinks. Those 900,000, those are the good people, right? Those kinds of people. I mean, this man with this superior British accent, he thinks the other people don't matter. Think about that, because sometimes we get all complicated explaining things. But by the way, I'm going to play this full clip for you of him and George Galloway in this conversation, and George really kind of puts him in his place. But first, before we do anything else, I want to bring in somebody who knows, well, by the way, he knows that broadcaster very well because he has spent time with him and recently just got so fed up with him, he walked away. Joining us now to talk about the war that really did restart in earnest yesterday is Professor Mohammad Mirandi. And he's good enough to join us now from Tehran. Professor, it's always so great to see you.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing? Thank you for inviting me.
I'm a little upset. I woke up yesterday and I felt like I was in that movie that I know you've watched, Groundhog Day, where the guy wakes up and the same thing keeps happening over and over again. I felt like I was saying yesterday the same things I said when this war started. The United States is bombing Iran, and Iran has decided to bomb military installations that belong to the United States. It feels that way to me. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct. And it is sort of like Groundhog Day. That's how things are with the United States nowadays. And what I find so extraordinary is that a significant part of U.S. society still buys into this nonsense.
Yeah.
And what's even more upsetting or saddening is that the American people, obviously, from the polls that we see, do not like Zionism. They don't like the Israeli regime. They see what they're doing as genocidal. But they have no options. If they want to vote against Trump, they vote for another AIPAC or Israeli or Zionist-funded candidate from the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
So, no matter what you choose, you get the same thing.
And what is that? And what is that a definition of that you just said? That no matter who you choose.
Oh, it's democracy.
What you just described that we have in my country, the United States of America, is a dictatorship. It's a dictatorship. When nothing changes, you have a dictator. It's not about the person in charge. Who cares if his name is Obama or Trump or Clinton or whatever? The system is what is dictatorial. It's what dictates what happens in terms of policy. It's a dictatorship.
It's actually, I think, more dangerous and more destructive than communism. Because in communism, at least regardless of whether the government does good or ill, communist governments that no longer exist. But mm-hmm. For example, the Soviet Union, if they do something, you know who you're dealing with. You say, well, the government did a good job, or the government is lying, or the government is telling the truth. But here you have this more complicated situation where people say, well, the media is not controlled by the government. But in reality, the media and the government, they're all controlled by the oligarchy. Yep. So they say, oh, it's not controlled by the government, so it's the people, it's the voice of the people. No, it's the voice of a handful of multi-billionaires who control the entire system. So it's a bit more complicated, but that's what makes it, I think, even more difficult for people to deal with and to resist, because there's not a single person who you can look at and blame. It's a system. And the real leaders are not the people who are on TV. They're the people who are behind the scenes leading and pushing forward their agenda.
Yeah, that's what always bothers me is I get mad when I listen to you and you're on with some idiot like Piers Morgan, and he refers to every time he says Iran, he has to say the regime. And the words just like they come out of his mouth like with saliva down the side, like spit him, like he's enjoying, because he knows he's insulting you when he says it. And they do the same thing when I hear like countries in Europe where they have a 12% approval rating, somebody like Starmer or Macron, who has a 16% approval rating, or Merz with like a 19% approval rating, and they call Xi and Putin and these guys dictators with a 70 to 80% approval rating. I mean, it's insane. It really is. It must make you crazy sometimes. Is that why you walked away the other day on your appearance with Pierce?
Well, actually, I got up for like a second and shut the door because the side was crying. And then I came back and I sat down in front of the camera, and they cut the
signal
footage. They ended the video that they for promotion where I got up to make it seem as if I walked away. But if anyone saw the program, I was back in my seat in like less than half a second.
Oh, that's fascinating. So they're liars to boot. What a surprise. Wow. All right, let's get to the news. I hate the fact that we have to do this, but we have to do this. Gene, give me the post that Mr. Trump just put up so I could read it to the professor. We need to get his reaction. This is the post that the president just put out. It's quite severe. This is Donald J. Trump. The United States is going to be hitting Iran, whose Navy, Air Force, radar, anti-aircraft, and all other forms of defense, together with most of its offensive capability, are gone. This is parenthetic, by the way. Then he says, very hard tonight. So in other words, if you do the full sentence, he's saying that tonight, the United States, Trump, will hit Iran very hard. Then he goes on to say, tonight, at some point in the not-too-distant future, we will be taking Karg Island and all other infrastructure points and assume total control of their oil and gas markets, much like we have with Venezuela, which is working out brilliantly for both Venezuela and for the United States of America. So there you have it. Professor, I'm sure you've read that before, seen it already. What is your reaction to it?
you know, Rick, the thing is that what the Trump regime is doing and what he is effectively telling the world is that we are back to imperialism, but the sort of imperialism of the 18th and 19th and early 20th century. We just take the land and enslave the population. And in today's world, that doesn't work anymore. The global South is, its population has grown. Many of the countries are on the rise. Many of the countries are just as developed as in the West. Some countries like China are more developed than the West. You've been to China, I mean, Moscow,
yeah.
Tehran. I mean, if you go to the metro in Moscow or Tehran or Beijing and compare it to the metro in London or New York, you would see that Iran, Russia, China are decades ahead, China more than decades ahead. When he speaks in such language, people across the world see him as crude and as a crude imperialist and who wants to just steal and grab, take the land, steal the assets. I think that hurts the United States more than anyone else. And in addition to that, it strengthens the resolve of ordinary Iranians, those Iranians who may be tired and because of the economic situation, and they say, well, let's find a solution. They become more determined to resist and not to appease Trump because of these ugly statements.
Yeah, the part in there, put it up again, Gene. Put it up again. Let's take this thing apart, because I think Professor Morandi is onto something here when he talks about this last part. And let's read that, where he says, "And we will assume total control of their oil and gas markets, much like we have with Venezuela." He literally is saying that he's coming and he's going to steal your oil. That would be like me calling my neighbor and saying, "Tonight I'm coming over to your house and I'm taking your daughter. I mean, or I'm taking all your money or whatever it is that's valuable to you. I'm coming and I'm going to take it." You know why? Because I'm bigger and I'm badder and I can do this. And I don't care what you think. It sounds, never mind the fact that it's a complete violation of all international laws. Beyond that, it's just terribly crude. I can't see where even Americans would condone something like this, even just the language. And I would expect that there would be some kind of pushback, no?
I don't think there's going to be any pushback in the mainstream media, because when he says he can destroy Cuba and he'll take Cuba or he'll starve Cuba, I haven't seen any journalists, major, I mean, I'm talking about legacy media and corporate media journalists. I haven't seen any of them express outrage, or even the, you know, the progressives like The Guardian. None of them have shown any outrage. And when it comes to Iran, you don't see it either. When he says he's going to obliterate Iran, we don't see any European MPs in parliament expressing outrage that he wants to wipe out a civilization or take it back to the Stone Age. We don't see the European Parliament outrage. We don't see anyone particularly upset about Gaza or the genocide going on now in Lebanon. Western diplomats in Beirut are assisting the Israeli regime and encouraging government in Beirut not to let the refugees go to other parts of Lebanon to seek refuge. They want them surrounded in the south, and they're preventing aid from Iran and Iraq from getting to them because the Lebanese government wants to break them. And Western journalists in Beirut, like I say, media journalists in Beirut, they see this and they have no problem with it. They have no problem with the Israeli regime wanting to flatten Beirut or the southern part of Beirut. It's like saying, let's flatten Moscow, they probably wouldn't have a problem with that either, but let's flatten London or let's flatten New York. So I have no hope in the Western media or Western elites, but fortunately, in the West, young people are waking up. And I actually saw Max Blumenthal. I watched Max Blumenthal recently.
He's great, isn't he? First of all, let me just stop you for a minute. I think Max Blumenthal is one of the best journalists in the world, bar none.
Oh, absolutely. And a very heroic person and a very good friend. Max, I saw him recently, and he too came to Iran a while back, last year or so.
Yeah, I remember.
Max, he read out a poll carried out by a Jewish polling or Jewish institute. I don't remember the name. And in that polling among American Jews, young American Jews under the age of 35, I think, roughly half of them believe that in Palestine, Jews and Palestinians should coexist. That means that despite all the propaganda, the mainstream media propaganda, and also the propaganda among the powerful Zionists in the United States on their own Jewish community, almost half of young Jews under the age of 35 don't believe in Zionism. They believe that people are equal. And the other half, it's not as if the other half are all supportive of genocide. No, like some say there should be a two-state solution, which is, you know, still prejudice, but they are opposed to genocide and to the death and destruction. But the point I'm making is that young people, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and so on across the world, but especially in the United States, they're waking up. The mainstream media can't stop this awakening.
You know who knows that? You know who I think knows that? I think Netanyahu knows that. I think he knows that. And I think he feels like he's up against it right now. This is his last chance. He feels, I believe, like he needs to defeat your country, because what he wants is control. And the United States popular opinion is slipping away from him. And he's reading that, which is why they bought CBS, which is why they bought TikTok, which is why they're buying CNN. But that's not going to work, because those stations are only watched by 70 and 80-year-olds anyway. So he feels like this is his last. He needs to win this thing. And that's why I think he's pushing so hard. That's why, you know, Iran is in many ways almost in the defense of what is right for the world, pushing back. And that's why, as George Galloway, my friend George Galloway, says, 7.5 billion people around the world are pulling for Iran.
You're 100% correct. This is their last chance. And they are very worried, because the world has woken up to the reality of what Zionism means. Ethno-supremacism and genocide and ethnic cleansing, all of these things today are being associated with Zionism. And Netanyahu knows that. And he's running out of time. And even after the next elections in the United States, where Trump will obviously lose, and there will be, he'll probably lose the Senate as things stand.
Yeah.
But even though the Democrats are, as I said earlier, beholden, the leadership, beholden to Zionism, but it's going to be different, because the grassroots are going to be putting a lot more pressure on the representatives, even though it's not a democracy. And we see Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and others on the right. Mm-hmm. They're increasingly being outspoken against these horrific crimes. So, you know, while I'm not saying that the immediate future is going to be better, obviously it's going to be worse. Iranians are going to be slaughtered tonight. In the coming days, the United States is going to attack and kill more Iranians. But Iran is going to withstand this pressure, and the Iranian position is moral. The Iranians are saying the genocide in Gaza has to stop. The ethnic cleansing has to stop. The genocidal attacks in Lebanon have to stop. And what the United States government is saying is that, no, that you, the genocide should continue, and you should just have an agreement with us and let the Israelis wipe out the Palestinian people. And people across the world see that. And this has also resulted in a sea change in mentality towards Iran. So for 47 years, this corporate media and Western media has been demonizing Iran, And now people are saying, well, if Iran is so bad, why is it that only Iran is defending the Palestinians and everyone else is either indifferent or they're supporting the genocide? So they have undermined their position, and this tweet is just representative of that, or this Truth Social post.
Let me tell you something. I'm an American, right? I am an American, and I can tell you that you have done nothing to my country. And when I say you, I mean as an Iranian. Your country has not threatened my country, has not damaged my country, has not hurt my country, has not planned to hurt my country. I have found nothing. Speaking as a journalist, and I have looked and looked and looked, other than occasional gatherings where people say death to America, which is a stupid thing to say, but again, it's words, right? Words. It's not action. That's it. This is being done because Israel doesn't like you. That's it. And as an American, it makes me angry to say that, but it's the damn truth, you know? And you, I have to ask, I mean, you've got to be feeling something right now in your heart for your wife, for your children, for your family, when the president of the United States, ostensibly the most powerful man in the world, says, tonight I am going to destroy your country. Because that's essentially what he's saying to you. How does that make you feel as a father?
Well, first, a small footnote here, and that is that when, and you know this, I'm just saying it for your audience, when in Iran they chant death to America, it's not literal. It is like Yankee go home. It's like when someone says he bit the dust, they don't mean, it's not literal, but he ate the dirt. Death to America means death to the empire. And it's a nation that has survived three wars that the U.S. government has imposed upon them.
Yeah.
They supported Saddam Hussein, gave him chemical weapons, then, of course, last year, and maximum pressure sanctions. So Iran has suffered a lot at the hands of the American government.
Fair point.
Even before the revolution. But with regards to how we feel, I think the Iranians they feel very confident. They feel that they're on the right side of history, that their position is moral. And the Iranians, as you know, have a strong sense of resistance and resilience, not only because this is a country with thousands of years of civilization, but also their religious ideology being Shia Muslims. They have a very strong sense of the need to support the oppressed, to stand up against the oppressor. And that, of course, goes back to the events and the grandson of the Holy Prophet, and how he stood up against the tyrant of his time in support of the oppressed, and was martyred, of course, and his sister spread the message of his resistance and resilience. So in Iran, they feel confident about their position, but it's going to be tough for ordinary Iran. You know, people die, and people will lose jobs, and families will be facing difficulty. The economy today is tough. It's more difficult than it was before the war, no doubt about that. But for Iran, this is a war for survival. And for the United States, it's a war of choice that is done for the sake of not the American people, but for the sake of Zionism, which is carrying out the genocide in Gaza and in southern Lebanon.
You were talking a little while ago about the media and how reporters treat this, and to think that they hear the president of the United States hold a news conference, gather with a bunch of reporters and tell them, tonight I'm going to destroy a country and I'm going to kill millions of, or who knows, thousands of people. And listen to what the reaction is from the reporters, and listen to the question he's asked by some young woman pretending to be a journalist. Take a listen.
We hit them hard yesterday, and we're going to hit them again hard today, in case you miss, if in case you don't turn on your television set. And we'll see what happens with the deal. We were really close to a deal, but they keep tapping us along. They keep playing us for suckers, because you know what? They dealt with some very stupid precedents. I have to say that. I'm embarrassed to say it.
Besides peace in the Middle East, what do you wish yourself for your birthday?
For my birthday? Well, I'll go a step bigger. Peace for the world, okay? Peace for the world. Middle East, yes. Peace for the whole world.
Did you hear that, Professor?
That's the Western media now. That's mainstream media, which you know better than I. I mean, you've
I come from there.
Suffered at the hands of these people. You know, I first learned of your name, and I actually wrote about you in an article that I wrote for a conference in Iran when you were at CNN.
Wow, really?
So. Yes. Before the social media and that sort of thing. So I knew about you years before I met you, but I don't need to explain to you. Obviously, you know this much better than I. But this is the reality that if this was in any non-Western country, in the West, they would say, "Look at these despotic regimes. They have these reporters who are basically." Praising the great leader and that sort of thing. But over there, it's like, it's normal. And that's how it always is. You don't see the sort of follow-up questions and that you would expect when there are tough questions asked. And if you recall, during the last day of the former administration, of the Biden administration, during the last day of the Secretary of State's meeting with journalists. Mm-hmm. What was the name of that journalist who was carried out of the room? I forget his name, but the journalist was carried out of the room, and the Max Blumenthal too was taken out of the room.
Oh yes, if you recall. Yes, I recall that. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
So the only journalists who asked questions. Who asked serious questions, one of them was literally picked up and dragged out, and the other, Max, was taken out of the room, and he basically told the former U.S. Secretary of State that you ruined our religion because Max is a Jew. He says your involvement in the Holocaust of our time and your position, what you've done has destroyed our religion.
Isn't that funny how when you mention Zionism, they say you're an anti-Semite, but when you don't mention it, then they mention it and tie it to the faith. It's like either it is or it isn't. And Max is talking about the Israeli foreign policy. He's not talking about anybody's religion. But they do that on purpose, obviously, so that they can call people like me and people like you anti-Semites. Okay, final question, because I know you're up against it here.
You know, by the way, the Israelis during this war, they bombed a synagogue in Tehran and destroyed it completely.
So they're anti-Semites.
Why? Yes, they're anti-Semites.
It's ridiculous and it's shameless and it makes no sense. Final question, and I think this is the most important question of this interview. If Mr. Trump does what he says he will do tonight, what will be Iran's response?
Well, last night when the U.S. attacked, Iran carried out a counterattack, which was equally heavy-handed. And the same will happen tonight. I think during the 39-day war, the world saw how Iran was able to punish Trump and punish Netanyahu and their coalition, and to come out on top, despite all the pain that comes with war. And the balance of power has not changed on behalf of the United States. If anything, the Iranians are more confident about their military capabilities because now they've actually been to war with the superpower. And they know that they are on the right side of history. Iran is despised because it's supporting the Palestinians. Iran is demonized because it is opposed to ethno-supremacism and genocide. And people across the world and in the West are increasingly seeing that.
So you're talking about hitting military installations and i.e. mostly Persian Gulf countries?
Yes, if the Americans strike military targets, the Iranians will do the same. If they strike critical infrastructure, then if it's substantial, the Iranians will retaliate. and strike those countries that are complicit, the Israeli regime and the countries in the Persian Gulf that are helping the United States carry out war. But one thing that's important is that the United States did attack intentionally a water reservoir for 20,000 people, and they destroyed it.
So does that does that make desalination plants in Persian Gulf countries suddenly fair game?
Well, that's what I want to say. The Iranians have not retaliated, even though this is a crime, and even though it's a threat to the lives of 20,000 people. But the Iranians don't want to go there. But if the United States pushes this and goes further, then yes, Iran will have to retaliate.
By hitting desalination plants, which could be disastrous for those economies because it's hot and they would have no water.
Exactly.
Wow. You have the resources still? The president says you have no resources. All your military resources are gone. That's not true?
As far as I know, the U.S. president still hasn't been able to take control of the Strait of Hormuz. So I assume the Iranian armed forces have a few BB guns left, and they're still standing.
You're about to be attacked by supposedly the best military and the most lethal military, quote unquote, in the world, and you're telling jokes. Mohammad Mirandi, a professor from Tehran University, thank you, sir, for taking time to take us through this explanation, and my best to you and your family.
It's always a pleasure, Rick. I hope to see you soon.
Me too. Me too. Well, there's something else that I want to share with you now. I wanted to play for you. Remember, I mentioned at the beginning the entire conversation, as I promised, of George Galloway with the British guy who thinks that Russians and Asians and Iranians and Arabs and Muslims and Latin Americans and black people like me are all beneath him, and they don't even matter as much as someone like his and his ilk matters. Yeah. Here's the entire conversation, so you can listen to it yourself.
Iran is presently the hero of the vast majority of people in the world.
Oh, rubbish. And it's absolute
the fact
rubbish.
That you can't see
what a
that.
Load of absolute
Pierce,
nonsense.
Take your eyes off the posterior
absolute
of the
nonsense.
Tiny part of the
nonsense.
World, which is the Western world.
You think
Africa
that currently
is with
most
Iran.
Of the world, you think
Latin
the rest of the world
America is with
you
Iran.
You think the rest of the world
China is with Iran.
Yeah.
Russia is with Iran.
Russia, China.
All the Arabs are with Iran.
Russia, China,
take
any
your
other
nose out of the ass
North Korea.
Of the tiny number of people that you think are the world. They're not. The world. The world is 8 billion people.
Right.
You're speaking for the little clique that leads a tiny fraction of fewer than 1 billion of the people
so
of the world.
So just to be clear,
you
just to be clear,
cannot see
as
beyond
I suggested,
the end of your nose.
As I suggested then, you want to put up as a defense for Iran that they're supported by China, Russia, did you mention North Korea?
That's a lot of people, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But are they the kind of people, in terms of their own regimes, that we should be taking as good supporters of these benevolent people in Tehran?
You're living under Keir Starmer's regime, for God's sake.
Are these the kind of people? The kind of people? What does he say? You know exactly what he's saying there. By the way, don't you just love George Galloway? How can you not, right?
All right, I want to share with you now what you have to say about us. Ready? Mark McScott Peaches says, the America in the United States of America is no longer there. The U.S. does not follow the U.S. Constitution. The vote is bought through donations and super PACs and lobbying money. David Monk says, well, when Mr. Trump talks about minesweeping, he's talking about maybe his own mind that he needs to clean, sweep. Funny. Batter 2013, Mr. Sanchez, Russia should start studying what PR is as well. This war in Ukraine would be way... You know, you're right. That's actually a good point. Russians are not good at their own public relations. They're not. They're not good at showing off. They are pretty much disciplined and kind of by the book, and you're right. They probably would do well if they were better at it, I think. That's not a bad point. Bettina, 9521, says, Señor Sanchez, no me extraña que sea usted un periodista tan renombrado, y usted es valiente y un increíble comunicador. Wow, that's very nice. She thinks this is a good show. She thinks that I am a very good communicator. And I think that my mom and dad would be happy to hear something like that. So I thank you. That's kind. Hippoactive politicians, she says. Politicians are no more than puppets on strings. You're right. More now than ever, especially in the West. Atsian Play says, the Strait is open to the friends of Iran. No. Yes. I checked. Just yesterday, I believe. As far as I know, the Iranians are letting people in who are not their enemies. Everybody else is being blocked. That's the way the Persian Gulf is working right now, as we know. Jenna Abrams, 4497 says, love your show. Aw, thank you. And Chris Bungara Forrest says, you're just a Yankee version of P. Morgan. Basically saying I'm no better than Piers Morgan. Okay. Thank you, nonetheless. You are entitled to your opinion. Thanks so much. Hey, so that's it for us. That was a really good conversation, I think, with Professor Morandi. I think he's an honest guy, and I feel terrible about what will likely be happening to him and his country and his neighbors tonight. And I hope we can find a way to end this war for America. And for Iran and for the people of the Middle East. We will be following it for you. Thanks for being there for us on Spotify, on BitChute, on X, on YouTube, and we'll continue to be there for you. Feel free to leave your thoughts, and it's perfectly fine to tell me that I am no good, or a no good for nothing, or as Piers Morgan would say, one of the people that doesn't matter. Most of all, thank you for welcoming us into your homes, and we'll be looking for you next time. I'm Rick Sanchez. And we're out.